Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 687. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hey, can we turn off fact check for this episode? I don't want to say something stupid.
Off. We've shut it off, Tony.
Sweet.
Jeff is here as well.
I thought it was audio issues.
It's
having audio issues.
All the issues. We have all the issues, and stop being so rude with your questions. It's been another chaotic week. Have you guys been watching the Olympics?
Sure.
It's just, I watch the news every night, so I have a general idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
We still in the lead with medals, or
yeah. Good. Like, I mean, want to talk the actual sports of it? Yes, we are. We're in a good position there. We are. I think the last time I checked, it's like 7 medals up. We were 3 gold medals down from the lead.
But overall,
we're 10 up now. We have 37 medals to France's 27. And we are 2 medals back, 2 gold medals back from the lead in that as well. China has 11 gold, and the U.S. has 9. It's sport wise, it's been good for the Americans. Some of them. I don't know if you guys watch any of the 3-on-3 basketball. The women look terrible.
Yeah,
no, we're not. They were one of the favorites coming in, weren't they?
Yeah, but they lost, what's her name, tore her ACL.
Yeah. Cameron Brink.
Yeah.
And
the men are not good.
Oh, they're not. I didn't realize that.
So they don't have any NBA players, because you need to play in that in the 3-on-3 leagues in order to get, to be eligible. And so there's no NBA player, which is hilarious, because the WNBA players, because they don't make millions and millions of dollars, play in all these extra leagues because they need the money.
Right.
So, most of the WNBA players are eligible. So those 3-on-3 teams are all really good. But NBA players, they don't have to do that. So none of them are eligible. So they got, a bunch of players who've been out of the NBA for, a while. Or, Jimmer Fredette is, their star player, and he couldn't make it in the NBA. So... They're not good.
Yeah, the men won bronze in gymnastics. That was exciting. The women won gold, as everyone expected. It's been fun. The sports are fun. The controversies around the Olympics have been nuts, though.
Who's a man and who's a woman, for instance?
Jeff and I were talking about this one earlier. Jesus Christ on that one.
What the fuck? All right. If you guys want to get into it, you can get into it.
Yeah.
When I first saw, the meme going around, this is so unfair. This fucking man got in here and beat up this woman. I was like... Yeah, it's transphobic bullshit, whatever. Because I did not know anything. But then I looked into it a little bit, and I was like, wait a second. She's not trans. She was born a woman. And they're like, no, yeah. But it doesn't count. I'm like, okay, I don't know. I don't know where we're at anymore. You guys have told me for fucking 6 years that if you're born with a vagina, that you're a woman. But apparently now... That's not the case anymore.
If you ended up being more masculine than I expect a woman to be, that's what it is. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just okay. Isn't it they're athletes, so someone's going to be the best.
And she's not the best. She has a 9-5.
That's record. On top of it, too. So it's just someone who wasn't that good, I guess, or whatever.
I accidentally ended up in the gold medal round, and... Got lost. Hit for real. Darn. I mean,
right,
you're
so
boxing
like,
and got hit. What are you...
I was almost kind of genuinely texting Chris dude, am I missing something here? Is there some sort of thing that I did totally missed? And I would give, I will say this too, on top of it, when you like look up news stories about it, like the wording is all super vague and it's like afraid to say anything. And it's just like, it needs to be, it needs to state more clearly that she is actually like born a woman. Like
she is a woman. In Algeria, you're not permitted to be trans. She would be executed.
Yeah, I saw that as well. But the lot of like the reporting kind of wants to tiptoe around what they want to say because they're afraid they'll get in trouble with the trans community, I'm guessing. I don't know. But like,
I think people who aren't like in the community or associated with the community really fear talking about it because they don't know what language to use and they don't know what is offensive and what isn't. But like,
right. We're not even talking about
find trans out. Person. Like, you can find out. Talk to some people. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. Figure it out. Figure it out. It's your job as a journalist to report on this stuff. And if you don't know how to say it, figure it out. It is your fucking job.
But anyways, someone who I saw on Facebook who, like, I would not peg as someone who's hateful, and they're not, she's not, like, political at all. She posted this meme with, I think it's, like, Logan Paul talking shit, whatever. And I just came in and left a comment just, like, just in case you know, like kind of like me, where I was duped at first. I'm like, she was born a female. And she, like, immediately replied, like, yeah, I read all into it. I still think it's wrong. And I was like, okay. And then, like, other people started chiming in about XY chromosomes and, like, that's definitely a man. Like, yes, they have a part that looks like a vagina, but that's definitely a man. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about, dude? If you're born with a vagina, you are born a woman. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
I think the report is, you know, both of you said the reporting on it's been kind of shitty. They're mixing up some things with these. There's two boxers that fall into this realm, two female boxers. And the Algerian, she failed a test for elevated testosterone, which got her banned from a tournament. And then she did not clear some other medical test that the IBA is unwilling to give, like, what the name of it is, what the results of it were, how the, you know, what the methodology of the test is. They won't release that. They won't tell anybody how that test is for this Algerian. I think it's a Thai boxer. She had, like, she tested for XY chromosomes. I think people are getting these two mixed up. Not that I think either one fucking matters, but
yeah, it's like, dude, if like some women are more manly and thus are probably better at sports, and it's just like that's how, you know, that's how it is. Like, I don't understand. Like, now again, I feel like I'm taking the basic approach that like these people have taken for fucking years, and they're like all of a sudden way nuanced. Like, no, she might have a vagina, but it's really not a woman though, because you see, this is why. I'm just like, what are you fucking talking about, dude?
It's,
you've been telling
me. It's like the difference between me and LeBron James. Like, we're both men.
Yeah, I'm just way lesser of a man.
He's got like some genetic advantages, like. There are things about him that make him fundamentally different and better at this other stuff than me. And me and 99.999% of people are never going to be anywhere close to being on the same plane as him when it comes to basketball. Like, and that's like,
yeah,
it's like Serena Williams. It's the same thing. Like, she gets out there, clearly a woman, but has certain genetic advantages, can hit the ball way harder than all the other women can. And like, that makes her awesome. It doesn't make her not a woman. I don't understand. Like, is LeBron James not a man? Is he something else? Like, I don't.
Yeah. Thank you for making me feel sane again. Cause I really thought like I was missing something. I was like, what?
The goalposts just move, right? Like, it moves wherever they want it to move because.
Dude, they're all like fucking. This is where I'm landing with them. They're all little bitches, dude. Like, they're fucking crying about the opening ceremonies, dude.
Yep,
like,
that was the other one I wanted to bring up,
dude. And like, you know, to turn it back like straight to politics, like, you know what my thing with Trump is now? He's a fucking crybaby. He cries about everything. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Anyways. Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. It's you mentioned the opening ceremony. That was the other thing I wanted to touch on. Cause, like, these people went batshit bananas over what the IOC and the, I guess, one of the people involved said was with the Festival of Dionysus. And people took it to be the Last Supper. I don't, like, whatever. Either way, who the fuck gives a shit? Like,
I don't care either way. But it wasn't the thing he thought. Like, they were all offended, like, oh, this is against God, and this and that. And it's like, this, you know, they're mocking the Last Supper, and it's like, dude, it wasn't even about you. It wasn't even about it. Like, you people,
and,
you know what?
They're kind of weird, guys. Yes, they are.
They're so weird.
Absolutely.
So weird.
Absolutely weird.
There was like a reporter in the White House press room who was like pressing the press secretary on it. Like, what does Biden think about this offense to Christians? And just like, I don't know that he knows anything about it. And
he's working.
Kept, like, asking her about it. Like, keep like hammering away. And like, I'm moving on to the next topic because I don't have anything for you on that. Because I don't care and no one should care.
Working out like a prisoner swap agreement. He's got more pressing things than the opening ceremony of the fucking Olympics.
Yeah.
Good. But Lord.
That was a tweet I saw pass through. Cause it was like, you know, after the opening ceremonies, I vowed to not watch the Olympics cause they were satanic and against God.
Oh, I saw so much of that.
But now I'm angry about this thing that I said I wasn't going to watch.
I'm definitely
informed on this thing that I'm not watching. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, they're just so fucking whiny and petty and bitter and angry and sad and weird. I'm gonna keep saying weird because they hate it.
They do.
They don't like it.
It's like
I actually saw right before this that like Trump is bothered by that. He does not like it.
It's the most basic thing, and like that's the thing that they like. We've been calling you fascist. We've been calling you wannabe dictators, racist, homophobes, transphobes. But we call you weird, which is just a normal fucking thing people are. And you're like, oh God.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They want to convince themselves that like they're normal. That like this is what people are. This is how people think.
Yeah, that, like
you're weird. You're not
weird,
normal anymore. You're like you're not the average American. You're an oddity. You're an outlier. You were weird.
But they are. They're obsessed with things that like people do not care about, dude. Like,
yep. That crazy uncle at Thanksgiving. That's you.
Yeah, exactly.
The weird guy. The guy touching himself in the corner. That's you.
Do you think like they just? They never really like understood that they were the weird uncle. They were the crazy one that nobody wanted to talk to. And...
I remember when we were in whatever island we went to for vacation earlier this year, there was a it was like a hot tub, and there were like eight people in the hot tub, and they were all clearly together. And one of them starts talking about Trump stuff, and everybody else got up and left.
Dude, when you are on vacation and you're in a situation like that, it's always such a gamble, like starting a conversation, because you start small conversation with other people. Where are you from, right? And most people know to like not stare into that territory, like with people you don't know. But it's always a gamble. Like you on a cruise, which is what I've been going on lately. It's like it's a lot of old people, so it is a lot of like pretty hardcore Trumper people, like. And I actually I've had, you know, I was still smoking when I went on the last cruise. Like, I'm having a cigarette next to a guy who's wearing, like, a fucking Trump shirt. And I'm talking with him just fine. But, like, at least, again, he's wearing a shirt to let you know that he fucking loves Trump. But, like, at least I'll give him credit. He did not steer the conversation anywhere near politics or any of that shit. And I was, like, grateful. I'm like, you know what? That's fine. Leave it at that. We're good. But, like, man, like... Please don't steer the conversation to politics. I don't want to talk about it with you. I don't agree with you.
Yeah. They always think that, like, they're, you know, oh, I like this person. They agree with me on it. It's like, not at all, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they're white. They kind of just assume that you're on their side. Like, it happens to me all the time. And I'm just like, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to talk about politics.
There was a guy at a concert I was at this week wearing a Donald Pump shirt, which was like a caricature of Trump, but he was like doing like arm pull-ups or whatever with a, like he was lifting weights. It's like, why would you wear that out in public? Like,
yeah.
That's weird. I mean,
and he was weird. He could not clap. He could not clap. Like,
oh no.
He could not keep time with the music. He looked like a fucking seal. People watching has been fun for me for the past week as I've been out at concerts and stuff. So very weird people. Yeah. So the Olympics are happening. Watch the sports. They're fun. Especially the weird ones.
There's a guy from like Turkey that, well, I don't know what they call it. Like shooting competition. Shooting,
yeah. The pistol, right?
Dude just walked up wearing a t-shirt and nothing. I don't know.
Metal, baby.
What did you get?
Silver.
Yeah. That's pretty fucking cool.
And all these
other weird things on their heads and yeah. Like really like odd gear. And he's just like, oh, here I am. You could just see him like sipping out of a beer can or something.
He just looked up with his like regular glasses and like some like concert earbuds.
Like just nothing. Like no fanfare or anything. And I read that he said that, I didn't, this is something I think I saw on Twitter, so could be incorrect, but that he said he got into it after he got in a fight with his wife, who's now his ex-wife. I'm like, okay, that's a lot. And they said to other people, like, he just shows up, he fucking rolls in, like, does his shit, like, no gear, and then just asks where he could go have a cigarette. That's cool.
Did you guys catch the women winning bronze in the rugby sevens?
Oh yeah, on that one long run at the end.
Yeah, like one. I know nothing about rugby, like pretty much zero. I've watched two rugby matches in the past week. They were both super fascinating. Like, I don't have any idea what's going on.
It goes so much faster than football.
Oh, the games are like, what, 15, 20 minutes long, tops? Like, they're so quick. And play doesn't ever really stop. Like, when they get down, they just kind of, like, set up and snap the ball back.
Yeah. I bet if you took the amount of, like, time they actually spend playing and compared it to, like, American football, it'd be pretty similar.
The same amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exciting to think there was like 30 seconds left when they got the ball back and they made the run just as time was expiring. So that was exciting. And then they had to kick their weird field goal thing for the win, which I didn't understand that. Like, that's why you're trying to score in the middle, because that's where you kick from. So if you score on the side, like the,
it's really you go hard.
On the end zone at the corner, you kick from the side, and their goalposts are way more narrow too. Interesting rules in rugby. Anyway, yeah, go watch the Olympics. They're fun. Stay away from the nonsense. Like, just go have fun with stuff. People should have fun.
They should have fun.
Yeah. Come back. That'd be good, right?
Well, what was that?
I want fun to come back.
Yeah.
You know what's fun, Jeff? Burlesque. Burlesque is fun.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I have the note here. Tony, tell us about it.
So, we went to Star Wars Burlesque. The Empire Strips Back.
I've seen the ads for this.
Yeah, it's in Philly. You could go see it yourself if you wanted to.
Okay.
Apparently, they have like little people are interested in Star Wars burlesques. They're like in cities across the globe. So if you're ever in like Sydney, Australia, Star Wars burlesque could be, you know, right there for you.
Got it.
It started off with like the crawl, which if you're going to go see it, I'm not going to spoil for you, but the crawl was pretty hilarious.
Okay.
And then it opened up and it's Luke Skywalker, played by a woman, riding a tauntaun, played by somebody else. And like, it's a strip act where like during it, she like kills the tauntaun and pulls out his intestines and goes inside of it while stripping. And that's how the show starts.
Super hot.
Yes. There's like, I was wondering if there'd be like a story or if they'd do just like a bunch of separate acts. It's just a bunch of separate acts. There's no like overarching narrative.
Right.
But it was all held together by this MC who was Lando Calrissian's quote unquote nephew, who was hilarious. Probably the best part of the show. That guy was freaking hilarious. I don't know. The show was, I've never been to a burlesque show before, so I didn't really know what to expect. Like how much there wasn't a ton of nudity, and the nudity they always did was very brief and like at the end of the strip scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The acts tended to go towards parody. So, for instance, they did the scene where Leia is chained to,
Jabba
the Hutt.
Yep.
They had a giant animatronic Jabba the Hutt that was rapping to Biggie while she was like stripping alongside of him. And there's a part at which she's almost naked and she like climbs up on his back and like the tongue comes out and tries to lick her. I don't think my girlfriend will ever recover from that moment. And then there's another part where the Emperor strips down.
Oh.
But the person is wearing like bodysuit underneath with like a fake shriveled penis of the Emperor, like waving it around and stuff. But then ends up dancing to a wrecking ball and like flying around the stage on this giant wrecking ball in the shape of the Death Star. So I really enjoyed it. There were some really, really funny parts to it, and I would highly recommend it.
What was the R2? You told me to write that down as well.
Oh yeah, okay. So there's a scene where is it supposed to be Leia? I don't remember. Somebody was dancing around R2, and like you know, starts to strip down, gets to near the end of the scene, and R2 just starts shooting out $1 bills.
Like, making
it rain.
That's good. That's funny. So worth going to see?
Absolutely. It was fun.
I don't know if I could talk my wife into it, but maybe.
Maybe.
Let's go to this weird thing.
The dancing was very good.
Yeah. Who doesn't like good dancing?
Right.
Well, I'm glad you had fun at the burlesque show. That is super fascinating. I always see ads for it on like Facebook or something like oh, you want to go to Star Wars Burlesque? Like, that sounds intriguing.
Would your wife be down for that?
I don't know. I don't think I could talk her into it. If like somebody else we were going, like if somebody else were like going, and we're like,
you guys, you're not the one pushing this for
that,
it.
That was sort of the kicker for our. We went with another couple who really wanted to go.
Yeah, I think like we have a couple friends that like that would be something that they would do, and if they were like, hey, you guys want to come? Like, she might be like, this seems weird, but. Like, if you want to, we can go.
Yeah, I think if it had just been down to me and Emily, I don't know that we would have gone. But the fact that we had, like, a whole posse was better.
We went to, I think I would call it burlesque in Vegas. It was Cirque du Soleil, but they used to have, like, an R-rated, I think it's shut down now, but they used to have, like, an R-rated one. And it was as far as I understand, a burlesque, it was pretty much like that. And like, the funniest part was like before the show, some of the women were like walking, like one of the biggest women, she just started like walking through the aisle, like, you know, like passing our seats as we're sitting down, and she's like bending over and oops, like accidentally putting her ass like right in your face and shit. It's pretty funny. And my wife was, you know, she was fine with it. She thought it was a fun time, whatever. Tried to get her to go to a strip club once. That did not go well. So I think burlesque is the line.
Getting her to the strip club didn't work well, or what happened at the strip club didn't work.
There, and she just was not into it at all. Which is like, if you ever gone to the strip club, it's like a lot of times you'll see couples in there, and the fucking wife is the one having a fucking blast. But yeah, my wife was just like too weird in public and whatever. Like, she was not into it at all. And like, the strippers could tell that, and were being like super nice to her, but she was still just like, yeah, this is, I'm uncomfortable.
Like, all right. My wife's been in a strip club with me once, and it was like St. Patrick's Day. We were out with like 10 other people, and we were just doing a bar crawl and like
group thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And like one of the bars was a strip club. And the reason they wanted to go in there was because they had little people stripping.
Oh God!
They had it. They called it their leprechaun strip.
Oh God! I've never seen that.
You know, my wife was not comfortable in there. So
yeah, I can see that.
It was also like not like a nice strip club. Like it was like a small corner bar strip club. Like they had like two tables, two like where girls would dance. That was it. Like not a very big club and cramped.
I don't know if I ever told you guys the story, but like the one we went to, it was actually very nice. It felt like you were like in a lodge. Like it was very nice on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in, this is in the Wisconsin Dells, like days before Christmas. It was like December 22nd or something. And we went, and it was like a Monday night. Nobody was there. It was me and her and the dancers. And that, like, the dancers were like, hey, how you doing? You know, like, and very much, like, they could tell she was uncomfortable, and they were just being so nice to her, but, like, she just this was like, this is weird. Here we go. My wife does not like me looking at other naked women, turns out.
Even though, like, she's there with you, and you're going to go
home with her, she's so. Just, you know, rubbed her wrong and whatever. Like, I was totally, like, if she wanted to go to a male one, I'd be like, sure, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, not my cup of tea, obviously, but.
Right.
You know.
And, like, Vegas is, you know, I mean, they have strip clubs everywhere. But, like, they have, like, those, like male review shows everywhere, too. Like, in some of the casinos as well. Like, so
you'll just... They have them at the, you know, fucking bars and shit around here sometimes. Like.
Yeah, so Star Wars Burlesque sounds like a good time. Go with friends, it seems like. Got some news here. As Earl's 20 minutes are up, he is well past, so we're gonna jump right into the news of the week. And circling back to the Olympics, actually. There's no Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games this year. And there have been for, I think, the last six or so Olympics.
Yeah.
The IOC, they're the reason there was not one this go-round. They decided that it would be better to do mobile games and NFTs. They thought that was... See, better option than licensing with Nintendo and Sega for another Mario and Sonic
NFTs.
Game. NFTs, yeah.
Was this planned like 4 years ago? What the fuck?
That's what I thought. I was like, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, NFTs were like hot for about 35 seconds.
Yeah.
And like Square jumped on them. some other, but that was a few years ago. Did. Yeah.
And they quickly said, that out. Is fucking stupid. And that was the end of it.
Did you know that Kevin Smith released an NFT movie?
Yes, yeah.
I did not know that until recently. I was like, that sounds really stupid. Turns out it was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's terrible. I wonder if that's available to watch on like YouTube at this point or not. But I guess not, because it was an NFT. It's the only way you can see it.
Yeah.
You know, he has a new movie coming out.
Yeah, in September. I just found that out as well.
I honestly thought it looked okay. I don't.
It's going to be in theaters too. So
that, yeah, like it's like a real movie. Yeah, yeah.
Real movie from Kevin Smith.
Thanks, Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I don't know what the IOC is thinking though. I do think it's a shame that we don't have any like Olympic video games though for this year.
The last Mario Sonic one I tried, I didn't think it was very good. I don't know about you guys. Have you played them?
They're fine. Like, they're not great.
They're just... I just...
Mediocre minigames.
Yeah, but it's... which means, like, we're never going to play it. Like, I own one of them, and I played it, like, one night. And I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to be able to convince other people to, like, play this. Like, it's just... Nothing here is, like... good enough. Like, I don't know.
I think the last one I played was one that was on the 3DS. So we're talking probably 8 years ago now or so or more. And that one was fine for what it was.
I owned one on the Switch, yeah. That like has like an 8-bit mode. And I think that's what drew me to it. I'm like, oh, that's neat. And I don't know. I think those games kind of, like, again, I played one of the more recent ones. I'm more expert on the series, but I thought it kind of sucked. I think it's hard to make a good Olympic game anyways, but like,
those games are always tough, but it is a shame that there's nothing like for people to even try to play.
No, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, there was the London Games in 2012, the Rio Games in 2016, and I think the one you probably played, Jeff, was the Tokyo Games in 2020. That one was on the Switch.
Yep, that sounds right.
I think the last one I played wasn't on the 3DS. It was on the DS, and that was Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games. That was 2009. They used to have other, like, Olympic games too, though, like actual
track and field, baby. No, yeah. I know there was like an actual Olympics game.
Yeah. Again, they're never great because, but it's, you know, it's something at least.
They're all kind of like this button pressing type deal, you know, and like the events are like 2 seconds long. I don't know.
Well, there's also so many bad sports games now. And, like, if they can't make a good game about one sport, how are they going to make a good game about...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they always do pick the ones that it's like, hey, what's the easiest thing we can make a button masher out of? So it's like, oh, we'll do shot put. Like, just press it really hard and spin your thing in a circle.
And then maybe, like, a very base, like, some very basic and not fun to play, like... Like, it'll be tennis or soccer, but then you're like, I'd rather be playing, like, the real version of this, like, in another game that, like, is built around the sport. You know what I mean? Like, not a crappy version of soccer. It's like, I think it's really hard to, like Tony said, it's like, it's hard to do a sport game well, and then, like, to have it be, like, this grab bag is, like, I don't know. I think it's really hard to pull off.
It made a lot more sense back in, like, 8-bit or 16-bit, where the games were so simple, like, to begin everything with, like that,
which is where I think my most, like, nostalgic memories for that stuff comes from, is back, like, when I was a kid playing, like, winter games or summer games on like my computer, and they were button mashy, but like they looked cool at the time, and, like, you couldn't play them anywhere else, so. Like, classic shitty bobsledding. Yeah, you track and field where you're pressing the A and B button back and forth.
Yep. Yeah, they and I remember like they released that for Xbox 360, I think, and I was like immediately bought it. And for a very brief time, I was at the top of the leaderboards because like it had just come out like 10 seconds ago. I was like, yes, I did really great on this, and I'm like, it did not last.
The briefest, of crowning achievements. All right, well. I think that might have been the nicest of the news this week. Rumors are out there. I don't know if they've been fully confirmed or not, but it seems like Avowed is going to be delayed. That is the Obsidian kind of Skyrim-ish, Elder Scrolls-ish type game. I don't know. There could be a variety. Like Tony, you thought maybe
I saw some
unfinished
articles about how there was a lot of criticism the game got when they were showing it off about the combat and it not being very good.
Yeah,
and how it was taking them some time to rework it.
I mean, is the combat good in those types of games? I would argue the combat in Skyrim is not awesome.
See, but the I think the trouble is it's not like a Skyrim-ish game. Like it's more. A more directed experience. It's not like a fully open world. So like, I think the combat is probably more central to the game than it would be in like Skyrim. So if it sucks, then the game's probably going to suck.
I saw that. Oh, this is what I, again, who knows what the reality is?
Yeah. It's just, they're all rumors. Yeah.
What I saw is, the game's in good shape. It's totally, good. Their fall schedule is too packed. I'm just like, what? What are you talking about, dude? Like, what, you have three games coming out? You're not used to having, like, you're used to having zero games, I know. So, like, I get it. Now you got three, but, like, that's not too much. I'm sorry. Like, unless it's like you're just spreading yourself so thin that, like, you're worried about having something for next year, which may be the case. I don't know. It's just like,
yeah,
that excuse, I did not like. It rubbed me the wrong way, especially since moving
it out of like Stalker, like moving it away from Stalker. Like these are different games, very very different games. Like I don't.
Yeah,
and Stalker isn't their game. Like they're not publishing it, so like, yeah, it's gonna hit Game Pass.
They're publishing though.
Right, as Tony said, they're not the same type of game.
It feels an area that, like I told Chris when I saw this today, I was like, that's like the game I was looking forward to. You know what I mean? So like, don't tell me it's too crowded. Like some people like me, that's kind of the one that we wanted to play. Like what the fuck are you talking? Like what does Microsoft have coming in the fall? Like it's Call of Duty technically is theirs, right?
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with the Valve
expansion.
Like, I guess that is under them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Starfield expansion.
Yep.
But
okay, a couple expansions. Me, like,
Age of Mythology.
What would say Aria?
Aria History Untold. Yep. Yeah.
And Indie.
Yep.
And the new flight sim. That's our.
That's all like different things.
Yep, like, and they're all like the, you know, the two strategy games, very niche. Like they're not going to hit a wide audience outside of the strategy gaming. Flight sim, it's really cool, but not going to like reach outside of like we might try it and do a flight or two, but we're not going to spend hundreds of hours playing flight sim.
I probably, because of the file size, I probably. It's
so fucking massive. Yeah.
Maybe they fixed that.
No,
probably not. That'd
be great, man. And Indie, I don't feel confident that game's coming either. But
even if it were coming, it's not the one I was looking forward to. Like, I'm sorry, yeah. I know. Like, you're probably looking forward to more than me, Chris. But I'm like, I don't know. I could kind of look at it and see what it is, and then like look at the developers, see what, like I'm sure I would enjoy it, but it's not like, it's not a game that I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to play that and see what that is. I feel like it's a game like I know exactly what it'll be, and I'm like, it's like, okay, I will play it, but like,
I'm not even sure exactly what it's going to be though, because like they haven't really shown a lot of gameplay of it. So like, how like it's going to be a shooter.
Clearly, it's going to be fucking Wolfenstein with puzzles,
which is what weird. I think. Like, that's weird to me.
It's fine. Know. It's totally fine. Like, I'll probably have a good time playing it, but I'm not. That's not the game that I was like, I cannot wait to play Indiana Jones. You know, and even Avowed, it wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to play Avowed, but I'm like, I know that's my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I fucking, you know, a month or two just doing different shit. I know I can make a different character. It's like, you're not gonna do that in Indiana Jones. You're not gonna be able, like, you're not gonna make a different character. You're Indiana Jones. Like,
you're,
that's it.
You're
like,
indie. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of like ripped out, like, that was kind of like the bigger, like, my most anticipating is Zelda, and that's next month. But then after that, it was kind of like, well, you have a bunch of things that look fun to look forward to, and you'll probably be able to sink a lot of time into Avowed. And it was just like, nope, you're not getting that. So my fall feels a little more barren than it. I'm not saying it's a bad fall, but like the Avowed delay kind of like hurt me. Where I was like, that's
yeah, I can see that. And I really just again think like it's just like another unforced error from them. Like, oh yeah, these are the games that are coming out this year, and now they're like, now it's not coming out this year. Like,
but like, dude, we never believed it,
right?
We didn't know what it was gonna be. I kind of thought for sure if Avowed was coming and Indiana Jones would be delayed, but it was just like, it was too fishy when they're doing this show in June and being like 2024 holiday, you're like,
no dates.
Yeah, like
dates here.
Really? You don't have a target date on this? And so, like, we knew it was coming. I was just hoping it wasn't going to be the game I wanted to play.
Yeah. So that's happening. We'll see if Indy gets a date. Like, they're evidently bringing 50 games or something to Gamescom, which is in a couple weeks. So maybe we get a date for Indy there, but I'm not holding my breath.
March 2025. Dude, I think you might be right that it gets delayed too. Honestly.
And like, look, I'm going to play that expansion for Diablo. I'll probably,
oh yeah,
you know, I may play the Starfield one as well. But that doesn't add value to Game Pass, because you need to buy those. You need to buy the expansions. They're not included. So having a big game like Avowed drop off, it seems like, oh, you're a little barren again.
I'm kind of worried too about how big the expansion for Diablo is. I don't remember the price off the top of my head, but I'm just like, what are we getting here? Is it like one act?
It'll be, I mean, I think it'll probably be longer than, what was it? The 3 expansion.
Cause that was like literally one act tacked on. I hope it's more than that.
It'll be about 8 hours. I don't know what they're charging for it though.
The cool thing, I think it's, I guess, I don't think it's going to be cheap. Like, my guess, I'm not even looking this up, like $40, something like that. Mm. Like, Shadow of the Erdtree $30, but that was, like, pretty much its own game. Like, you pretty much could easily get, like, 30, 40 hours out of Shadow of the Erdtree easily. On top of all the weapons and whatnot it gave you for the game as a whole.
$40 for an 8 to 10 hour expansion of Diablo does not seem to be the same value to me.
Doesn't seem hurt when, yeah, like the game itself was 60. Right. I just hope that there's more to it. I don't know. At the very least, you get a new class out of it.
Sure.
Which is like, this is what I'll say. I've been playing a ton of Diablo 4 lately, and like, you know what the fun part of Diablo 4 is? Is when you start a new game with a brand new character, and the first couple hours of opening up that skill tree is really fun. After that, it's like you're kind of like set in your ways, and you're just like adding like really minor upgrades to your character. And you're just like, man, it was really fun when I was like constantly getting like new skills.
Yeah, because you're building out your personal build for that like, character.
Yeah, one, and two is just one attack, right? And it's just like you are. You know, whether it's your own personal or not, you're like always getting more stuff. And then like as you're like you don't even have to be far in the game where it is like, all right, skill tree's kind of boring now. Like with my rogue, I think I'm like level 48. I'm like, okay, well at least once I'm level 50, now I can start doing paragon points at least, because this fucking skill tree is like tapped out. There's like nothing interesting for me. Like there wasn't anything interesting for me to get like 10 levels ago, at least, you know?
Right. I think that's kind of, Tony, you enjoyed like the first act of that game when you played it, which I did too. And then it kind of becomes a slog for like acts two through five.
That's kind of, you lose me in the slog. It just feels so samey and,
Yeah, Jeff, I think you're spot on. Like, it's fun in that opening bit, like where you're building out your character and you're getting new equipment all the time. It's really great. Yeah.
They have improved.
It's a little samey.
I will say this: they have improved situation where it's like I'm level 50 and it's not, or I said like level 48. It's not uncommon for me to like get better new loot.
Every time you play. Then, okay.
Yeah, my first time through the game, when I was that late into the game, even before like the campaign was over, it was getting like pretty rare to find better shit.
Yeah.
So I think they have significantly improved that, which is like I actually still really love Diablo 4, and I did at the time. But one of my problems, my biggest problem was by the end of the campaign, like by the time you're like level 50, like you're not getting any better loot. It's just like more and more garbage. And at least so far, fingers crossed, that is not the case. Like every time I play, I'm getting better shit.
It seems to vary though. I've been playing on World Tier 4, and I'm playing with a full group of four though. So it does like we tear through a lot of stuff quickly. And I played for 2 hours yesterday, and I think of that 2 hours, I found like one piece of gear that was better than what I already had equipped. And this is including
what level?
60.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
60 to 65, somewhere in that range.
Wow, dude.
Huh?
When the fuck did you do all this?
I don't know. Every Wednesday for like the past like 3 months. Yeah, so actually, I was going to talk
I'm about guessing that. You're past the campaign, then.
Yeah, I'm in the end game. So like last night, we ran a bunch of, a Nightmare Dungeons. We did a World Boss. But I feel like the World Boss are just broken in a way that, like, because so many people show up, like, there was, like, five level 100s. Like, the World Boss was all of, like, 30 seconds.
I love it. Are you still getting like, are you still getting better? Like, are you getting legendaries off of the world boss that are better than what you have still, or no?
Like you'll get stuff. Like, yeah, there's clearly room for improvement. But like running like nightmare dungeons or running like, I forget what the World Tree events are called, but like those events, hell spawns or whatever, hell sites. Like I'm not finding as much. New stuff. And part of it is like at some point it just becomes like I honestly at this point I'm just gonna stop taking if you're not a legendary or what is it, sacred?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because like yeah, like some of them are like on a power basis are better, but like at that point I'm giving up like two or three abilities for like maybe an incremental increase. I'm like, no. I need full on dedication to like I need something heavy and that's going to hit hard. But like, yes, I will say I did crack yesterday, and finally I'm like, okay, I think they're one of those like, oh, here's like one of the best, like, you know, here's a good build. I'm a druid. Like, here's a good end game build for the druid. And I did that, and that actually worked out for me because like, oh, I'm like, I can feel the tangible difference in like being able to like tear through enemies and hordes, where like before it was just a bunch of skills I enjoyed, but no real synergy or rhyme or reason. So that
yeah. I was surprised. I saw my wife going in and respecking her character, and she like, it's really annoying to me because she always plays as the sorcerer. Because I want to play as a sorcerer, but I don't want to like, I want to have us be like
double up.
But I saw her going in and respec. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm building everything around fire. I was like, oh, you're actually considering what you're doing here? Cool. That's a cool idea. Like, I always like. She gets annoyed with me because I, like, obsess. Like, when I level up, I could spend, like, fucking 10 minutes looking at it and going, what do I want? What do I want to do? Like, I overthink that stuff from the jump. And she just click a button. She's like, whatever, something's better now. And then she finally went back in. She's like, I'm going to build it around fire. I was like, hell yeah, dude. She's tearing shit up now.
And I'm curious to your wife's side because, like, it was like, it's not even that. It's like, oh, I will try a thing, and I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel right, or I don't like it. And it's like,
it is good to experiment, right? To try a skill that you wouldn't normally try.
But it could also be like sometimes, like, oh, it's like you get it in early levels isn't great, but you get like an add-on, or you get like, you know, like the secondary ability you can get that adds to it. Because like I was originally trying to run like an animal thing, and I felt that was very passive. Because like if you run it, like you just have crows and wolves attacking for you, and you just kind of hang back. The build that I ended up doing is kind of a combination of that. Like I have like werebears, I have ravens, and I have spiders, but I also have like a, you know, I have lightning for my own attack, and then I have like a wind attack for distance. I'm like, okay, it allows me to be active, but like I can also just send in my horde and just kind of hang back and watch that stuff get demolished in front of me. So
my druid, which is like what I played through the first time, was like I almost didn't use any of the like animal shapeshifter stuff. Like I just basically turned him into a like a sorcerer. Like I was very lightning based and poison. Like I was kind of a mix of lightning and poison.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They do like there isn't a way to like run like an elemental where it's like, okay, I have like you could do lightning and an earth based attack, and then it's like the
one where
it's like it's companion heavy, and like both are legit, but it's like you have to wait until later in the game to really know which one you're going to focus on. And I think, you know, I think the generous I think the economy of the game is very broken because I got a whole crap ton of money I don't use. Honestly, I probably should get deeper into the different like gems and, you know, the different things you can do.
I discovered a way to like really lose money is that anytime you get a slightly better rare like glove or whatever, you go and fucking junk your legendary glove, then go imprint that aspect on your new glove, and that costs money. And like I make sure like I go to the occultist and print and imprint whatever like I want on a new piece of equipment to make it legendary. Doing that is expensive. It's like, you know, 80,000 every time. It's like I'm walking around with like no money. I will say this, that I think that the druid is more fun. I've only played through with the druid and the rogue, and I think the druid is more fun than rogue. Like rogue is not that interesting to me at the end of the day. It has a really cool ultimate skill, but the rest of the skills are just stab, 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 stab. For the most part. Chris, thoughts on that?
I mean, I play as a ranged rogue, so I don't do stab, stab, stab. I don't even ever get it close.
Yeah, I do have like one really strong ranged like arrow that I shoot, but I don't know. I just think the only cool thing that I do is my ultimate is like the rain of arrows from above.
Yeah.
And I will like add shadow damage to them.
I generally drop like caltrops and traps, like poison traps and stuff, like, and just take enemies out from range when I play as a rogue. And they're really, it's just the rogue is just the same as what the demon hunter in 3. It's basically mm-hmm. the same character. But it does have more, like, if you want to play more up close melee focused, like, it has that ability.
Pretty much almost all my skills are that. But the Twisting Blade, I think it's called Twisting Blade Skills, is it does like massive damage. Like, it doesn't look cool. Stabbing into them, and it does damage on the way in, and then you pull the, like, the weapons come flying back out of them, and it does major damage, like even bigger damage on the way out, like just cutting through life bars with like one or two hits. But
I've not played the end of the day.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I prefer. I probably my favorite would probably, but I basically turned my druid into a sorcerer. So, druid, big fan of druid.
Yeah, ton of fun, ton of fun. The other one I would play is the necromancer, but I didn't do the necromancer because I played the necromancer in 3 or something similar, where it's like you just have like an army of big skeletons.
Yeah. I didn't like that because I was trying to play with like someone else or other people, and it's just like too much going on.
Yeah, it like, can happen at times. The thing that always bugs me, and you learn it after a while, is I wish they kind of, I understand why, because different elements, is I wish they would have like green circles,
yeah,
or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like red circles. I run from red circles, like, oh no, this is my attack. I'm like, okay. But the enemy also has a giant red circle, so I don't know whose stuff I'm stepping in. I just see something underneath my feet. I'm running.
I will one day do the necromancer, but yeah, it feels so chaotic, especially with a group of people where you're just like, you got this group of people, they're doing all their effects and crazy shit, and you got like this army of fucking shit walking around where after time, like when I see another person that's a necromancer, I'm like going to attack their skeletons. I'm like, oh no, wait, no, they're nothing. They're good.
Well, it looks like we're excited for the Diablo expansion, which is one of the few things that Microsoft has for this fall. So, last piece of news I have is that Bungie laid off a bunch of people again this week. The second round of layoffs, I think, in the last year. I believe Tony did the math on it. It was 17% or something of the workforce this time out.
At least that's what they said, and then some other people did some math, and apparently they're laying off more than the number of people that they said they were laying off.
Well, because they're not so they're laying off 17% of their workforce, which is, I think, is 220 people. Then about 150 of those 150 people as well are being moved into Sony Entertainment proper, so they're going to be mixed into like different departments and things, and then I think about 40 additional people are being, I don't understand, but they're forming a separate studio. So about 400-ish, a little more maybe?
Being removed from Bungie.
Yes. So it's going from about, from 1,300 to about 850 for the total staff, which is a decent chunk of people.
Yeah.
That's like 450 roughly, right? If my math is mathing. About 450 people, if somebody corrects me, are being removed from Bungie in some capacity, which is, I mean, we'll talk about, it's weird that you lead with the layoffs, because if you're just like, oh, we're going to create a new studio with some Bungie, I think that is positive. I think if you're like, oh, we're, you know, Bungie employees are going to be moved within Sony, that's positive. But they had like, we're getting rid of 220 people, and it's weird because that is like that was what they said on Twitter, and I think that's how the blog post started. I understand it's you know, it's not good news, but it's weird to read the negative news. If nothing else, sandwich it in between.
Yeah, yeah. Weird way of phrasing it there. It seems like current and former Bungie employees are not happy with leadership there currently. So
no.
And I some of that, I guess, is that I think his name's Parsons. He has bought a bunch of cars and stuff, and he's the CEO of the company. He's been kind of flaunting his gains from the sale, while Bungie has been letting people go, and then this round of people getting let go. Those people aren't happy with them.
I can't imagine why. I can't imagine why.
Yeah. So who knows what's going on at Bungie, but that doesn't seem good in the short term. And
apparently there was a rumor that they had canceled.
Destiny 3,
but that doesn't seem to be true. That they may have canceled some sort of Destiny 2 expansion or something.
Yeah, that probably checks out, right? They just released the final shape. Seems that it is, people like it. I mean, the people that are playing it, but it does not seem to have brought in new players or returning players.
I mean, that's kind of it. At this point, if you're not playing Destiny 2, why would you?
Yeah.
Start.
I mean, that game is so convoluted to jump into now.
And I know that's, but I think this is always the thing with the Forever games. It's unless you can find an avenue, and I don't think a story-driven game can do that, because you're very much running into the problem comic books have. It's at some point, as far as I know, you can't access the actual start of Destiny 2 anymore.
Exactly. That's the big problem with it. They lock content away.
Yeah.
You can't just start at the beginning of Destiny 2 and play through the story.
Yeah, so that's a big problem. At some point, if you're not... Yeah, every year you add a bigger expansion. It's great for the people who are into it, but you're just alienating people who are oh, I haven't finished the last one. Not going to start this. I guess I'm behind. And the people who are I'd be interested, but I can't start from the beginning anymore. So yeah, I do think, when did Destiny 2 come out? I think it's long overdue for Destiny 3 or whatever.
It came out, I give you the actual date, 2017.
Yeah, 7 years. That is a console generation. That is a whole ass console there. You can get away with doing a new game and having people start, and give some benefits to people. But 7 years, I think a lot of people got scared off from sequels, and I understand why. But it's not wrong to do it if it's a decent time frame. I think 5 years is plenty for a Forever game.
Yeah, it's time. I think time to move on. And Marathon is still not out. They announced that 2 years ago or a year ago. It doesn't look great over there. There are also rumors, kind of circulating that Herman Holst is being put in charge of Bungie. I don't know if there's rumors coming out of Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb. If that is true, that means that Bungie leadership has lost their control of Bungie and independence. Because they had a five-person board, three of which were Bungie managers and two which were Sony managers. So Bungie basically had voting power over everything that happens there. But that was contingent on them meeting certain financial markers every quarter. And if, I guess, if they did not hit them, and if Holst is now in charge, if that is the true rumor, then Bungie is absolutely no longer independent. We'll probably only see Bungie stuff on Sony platforms going forward. So we'll see. It's all rumors at this point, but we do know that the layoffs were real, that they actually did happen. That's it for news from my side, unless Earl had anything else.
I don't know what you folks discuss.
Mario & Sonic the Games and the Avowed delay.
Okay. It was a quiet week.
Yeah, I don't think there was much gaming news going on. We'll probably get some stuff soon when Gamescom kicks off, so.
I was surprised that there's nothing at San Diego Comic-Con. But no,
there was no game news that came out of there.
We folks probably discussed this. I think we discussed Kelly being canceled.
Yes. We mentioned that a couple weeks ago, and I did recently check, and I did not finish the second season, so.
yeah. Well, now you can finish it.
Yeah, I will finish the fight, I guess, if I do that.
Yeah. Not news, but I guess just to look forward to, I think, Borderlands is out next week?
Yeah, I think so. The 9th?
We'll never speak of it again.
I think we'll speak of it. I mean, it might not be next week, but I will watch it at some point.
I'll probably see it. It looks fun enough and kind of like a Guardians of the Galaxy type way.
I forgot if we talked about the Ash trailer or not when that dropped last week. But I am still so... I don't know if it looks good or bad. It doesn't look good, sorry. It doesn't look good, but it doesn't look bad in like a way where it's entertaining. It very much, like you say Guardians, and this is a minor distinction. It reminds me much more of Suicide Squad. Like the tone and the big poppy colors.
Sure.
Again, very similar in tone, but like, you know, one does it well and the other one's Guardians. I mean, the other one, Suicide Squad. So I'm kind of, again, I don't have high expectations for this in general, but I guess what I've been waiting to see and I have not seen is like, where is the Borderlands in this? Like,
what makes it Borderlands outside of these characters that are saying they're from Borderlands?
Yes, because I hear Borderlands, I think, really nonsensical weapons and dialogue, and so far it seems like a straight action movie.
Yeah, it's people that we know, like you know, actors that we know cosplaying as Borderlands characters using pretty standard weaponry.
Yes, because I had friends watch the I didn't have make them watch the trailers, but they watched the trailers, and like the question they were asking is like, who is the main character in this? And trying to one explain that it's an ensemble, but also it looks like they try to make Tannis's daughter like the main character because she's the only one who can open the vault or something like that. And like, oh, it's also like it's a weird mishmash of like Tannis and Tiny Tina are not playable characters in the first three Borderlands game. Or I forgot if Tannis becomes a playable character, but Tiny Tina becomes a playable character in a whole separate campaign.
She has her own game.
So, yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, right, I think that makes sense. But, like, yeah, I'm curious to see how it comes out. I'm curious to see what the reaction is to it.
No early reviews out there of
not
it.
Not that I saw. No.
I'm I'm gonna watch it. I don't know when, because I'll be on vacation. I'll be leaving for vacation the day it comes out, but I'll see it at some point. More looking forward to the new Alien movie, though.
Ooh, yeah,
that is 2 weeks.
Two weeks. It comes out the week after Borderlands.
Yeah, it's a good end of the summer. Hopefully, I've not seen Deadpool and Wolverine yet. That is what I'm going to wait this weekend to do. But yeah, I'm hearing decent things about Trap.
I want to see Trap.
Yeah, I want to see that.
So,
So I'm.
That's pretty good. August. You got M. Night Shyamalan, and you got fucking a Alien movie. Like, that looks good.
Yeah. We got Border and
Fede Alvarez, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's it for news and video game related entertainments, I guess, that are not video games. But what have you guys been playing this week? Tony, you get the chance to play anything?
I'm pretty close to the end of Skyrim, the main quest. I want to finish it because I have the Fallout London downloaded and ready to go. But I know the moment I start playing that, I'm not going to go back to Skyrim at all. So I'm trying to squeeze in the rest. Although I will say my desire to play Skyrim since I downloaded Fallout London has decreased dramatically. So it's like forcing myself to the end of this game so that I can feel like I completed it to move on to the next one.
And then go try this new thing.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you get to the end of it.
I'm literally there. I am there. I am like in the land of the dead right now. I think there's one. I finished that quest, and then that moves you on to the final quest of the game. So,
just maybe a little bit further, you'll be done.
Yeah.
And then we'll be talking about Fallout London.
Woohoo!
Earl, did you play anything over the past couple weeks?
Again, nothing new. We talked the obby already. Somewhat incorrect. I mostly observed, but I was away this weekend, and my friend's kids were playing Unraveled 2, which it doesn't matter. I've never played. It was they were, I think, 6 and 10.
Okay. So it was
very fascinating watching kids play and trying to suss out, like, there's things where I'm like, I don't want to jump in. I kind of want you to figure it out. But there's things where it's like, okay, they can't do it. So we jump in and like, okay, you know, just do this and do this. And, you know, but yeah, I've grown to appreciate actual co-op games because there's a lot of games you can play with friends. I mean, we've played Halo before, we've done Gears, where it's like, you don't necessarily need your teammates. You could run and do whatever, and they can catch up, or you can split off, and then the game will force you back together at some point. Where these are actual, like, no, you have to, like, work together. You need both the, it's a true, like, okay, this person goes up, this person helps bring this person up, or this person pushes something over, or this person moves something so the other person can, you know, follow behind them. And I've enjoyed, you know, I enjoy that dynamic. We also played, let me see if I get this, Mario Party Superstars. That is the one that is the old games, right?
Yeah.
You're a Mario Party guy.
Yes.
Yes. I really hate that one Super Mario Party and one Mario Party Superstars. But again... It's one of those things where, like, again, I went to visit my college friends. Me and my college friends have a ton of memories of Mario Party. But I was playing with, like, one friend and like two of his kids, and I'm just like, I don't want to be an asshole. But I don't know how to, I'm never really an asshole. But, like, you know, there are times where it's like, I can win, it's no problem. But it's also like, I kind of want to make it seem like everybody has a chance to win.
Yeah.
Everybody had a chance to win. I won, but everybody had a chance to win. And again, it was like one of those. Kids are very fascinating, because the Mario Party economy is broken in general. But like one of the kids, like every time they went around, they would always buy an item. Like, don't buy an item, because if you buy an item right now, you're gonna make it to the store before anybody else, but you won't have enough coins. And they would just keep that because they needed to. They stopped at a shop. I'm gonna buy an item because it's telling me to buy an item. Like, they don't have any grasp. Like, no, you save, you buy stars. Stars important. And that happened like 3 or 4 times where it's like you're just out of money and you're gonna pass the star. You're not winning any mini games. So keep what you got. But yes, kids are fascinating, great creatures. Not creatures, you know, little things. And then I guess not necessarily video games, but in the realm of gaming, we played Hues and Cues, which is a game I've always wanted to play. Have any of you played this before?
What's it called?
Hues and Cues.
No.
So it's a color your matching board game or party game. You get a giant square. I think it's maybe like 20 by 20 or something like that. And it's like different radiance from like brown to like dark blue or something like that. And then you'd get a card and you get like 4 colors. And you have to give people a hint, a one word hint as to like what the color scheme is. So, like for instance, I mean, it does not matter. None of you have the board in front of you, but like I had like a very dark light red, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But this might help you, because my hint was Mario, which kind of gets you in the ballpark of like a certain type of shade of red. And then it's like, okay, if they get, you know, if they got to get near that area, and if they don't, you get to give a second hint, which is a 2-word clue. And again, it's so very fascinating because like everybody has a slightly different idea of what a color is in their head. Like there was one like my friend kept on saying lime, and everybody's put in more green than I thought lime was. But it's a really fun game because it's I like any of those party games where it's like you kind of have to get into the head of what your friends think or how your friends think.
That can be scary though.
It can be, but it's again very much. I don't know if you. It's very much in the ballpark of like Mysterium, or Concept, where it's so clear in your head what you're trying to say, but like nobody else is picking up what you're putting down. And part of it is like, no two people think it's well. Okay, that's true. I'm sure there's a lot of people on the right who think exactly the same, but like stuff like that where it's like, because. I forgot if I mentioned. I mean, I played Concept before, but we played Concept when I went away a few weeks ago. And like the first thing we got was Pokemon. And my friend was so frustrated because like he was trying to do all of these hints and nobody's getting Pokemon until somebody accidentally stumbled on it. And then we did some extremely obscure ones and people would get like 3 hints. And it's like sometimes it's just the nature of the beast. It's like you go into a ballpark and you just kind of like you're in a zone. And again, I like those games, but I could also understand how it's frustrating for people. Where it's like, what I'm saying, and a lot of times when once it's over and the person explains it, it makes a ton of sense. So yeah, really fun game.
All right, cool. Jeff, you play anything this week?
I did the same games.
Well, I played more Dungeons of Hinterberg, which you're okay. Also playing. How much further are you in?
I'm pretty far. I as of right now, I am in a level 7 dungeon, and when I complete that dungeon, all I will have left are the level 8 dungeons, and that will be it.
Okay, I have 1 level 6 dungeon left. So
you're deeper. Yeah, that's pretty deep into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I just finished. I think like they give you a count, like when you save, I think it said 15 dungeons. So
yeah, I'm actually surprised you like kind of caught up to me. I think I have 18 or 19.
It's really good.
Yeah. Has anyone else played this game yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay. You guys need to play the game. It's on Game Pass. It's free. Unless you like hate Zelda type games, you're probably gonna like it.
Yeah. I think it's really, it's something special. Like the fact that it is really is just, hey, go do a dungeon. And like the dungeons are all individually designed and
they get pretty elaborate.
Yeah, like in fact, like the one I did earlier today was, it wasn't just a like the inside of the dungeon being elaborate. To get it to even unlock,
I had to outside, do
like a three-step quest. Yeah.
Yes. So this is something I wanted to touch on. As you get deeper in the game, some of the dungeons, to get to them, the overworld or like the level, the area that you're in, becomes a dungeon in and of itself. Because I'm guessing this is the one where you have to like shine the three lighthouses.
Yeah, it's the lighthouses. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like you have to go around this, you know, this whole area, this whole level, that's like separated by ocean and stuff, and like light up these three lighthouses, and their lights will all converge on one point, and that opens up the actual dungeon. So it's like you felt like you did a dungeon before you went to go do the dungeon. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and like so, a couple days ago, I guess I did a level 5 dungeon, and really that dungeon was really short. Like you went in,
yeah,
it was very straightforward, and then there was like a boss battle. They don't have like, in fact, most of the dungeons don't really have like a boss.
Yeah,
this one did, and like that was it. Like you beat the boss, you beat the dungeon, and I was like, oh, like. So when I unlocked this lighthouse dungeon, I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe the puzzle was the outside and the boss on the inside. And no, it was a pretty elaborate massive, inside.
Yeah.
Like another dungeon inside that one that was pretty elaborate and had you, you know, going around a castle and, you know, using like, that's the other cool thing about there's these different zones, as Jeff said, at each zone you have, specific magic that you can only use in that zone. So like all the puzzles are focused around those two magic skills that you have. So yeah, I think they do a really good job of, you know, designing the puzzles around them, designing the environments around them. And they're getting more and more elaborate in each of the zones.
Yeah, but always just using like in every area, it's just those, it's like,
two skills,
Earl. Like if it's like if in Zelda, in one part of the map, all you could use is the boomerang and the hook shot, but everything is built around that and iterate on it and make it more and more interesting as you're in that area. It's cool,
and then like a different zone is all around, like, you know, the bomb and something else or.
My favorite is there's an area where you have a snowboard and a laser.
Yeah. Yes.
One ability is a snowboard. The other ability is a laser. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. This feels really good.
And those, that whole thing is really neat because, like, it has you doing, like, a bunch of snowboarding, like, where you're going through slalom gates to, and, like, that unlocks doors and stuff. So you have to, like, hit all the gates in order. Like there's some really cool stuff in each of the ones, and they all feel so different that they're really fun. I think the actual story of it, it's starting to get pretty interesting.
Yes.
It's neat. And they do it really well. Like, so I think Jeff explained previously, like you wake up in the morning and they're like, where do you want to go? So you go pick like one of the four different areas and you go, you could do a dungeon there, or you can just go to like a rest spot. But once you're done there, it'll advance time. And then you go back to this little village of Hinterberg. And
it's evening now, and you're like wrapping up your day.
And you have like, you could choose who you want to talk to, or sometimes there are like specific things that the story will be like, this is what you're doing on this day.
There's a festival tonight. You're supposed to go.
Opening.
You promised you'd go to this event tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's how the story advances. And it's never super long, though. It's not like we're going to give you a 10-minute cutscene. It's like, hey, you're going to get, I don't know, maybe a minute or two of story, and then it's like the day's over. And you just move on to the next one. But they're giving you just enough story each day that it's like, this is fascinating. Like, I want to see where this goes.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm like really into the story.
It's cool.
And it's because it's like you said, it's never overbearing. You're never watching like a 15-minute cutscene or it's like you go do your dungeon and then at night you get to go hang out with someone to increase a stat. But like, or like you said, you have to go do an event and it's like you go to a festival and someone says something and you're like, oh shit, what? Like, and I think Chris is far enough now that I could probably talk about more, but I really want you guys to play this game. So I don't want to say more, but I think that the story is actually like pretty awesome. Like,
yeah, it's really neat. Cause where I am now, I think I finally kind of like I've stumbled across what is actually happening.
Yeah.
And the reasons behind it and like, the reasons behind why people are doing certain things. There's like some cool mystery behind it, and I don't think it's going to be like a huge twist at the end, but it's
I don't
pretty
know.
Neat how they're what they're setting up.
I don't know. Where it's 100% going, but man, I think I went about this last time. Like, I love the setting, the idea of it, like it's a tourist town and exploring what that means to the people, and then on top of that, like throwing the story layered with like intrigue and stuff on top of that that ties into the whole tourism aspect, I think is like really fucking neat. And it's like really rare for me to get into a story of a game, and so like if we were doing like game of the year stuff right now, I would definitely nominate this for best story. Like, not that there's like, what am I also going to nominate? Bellatro? I don't know. Like, I don't know. There wasn't much out there. There was a story.
I think it's a pretty cool story. I think there's some cool characters. And the way it incentivizes you going and interacting with the villagers or the other adventurers or people that are working the park is really neat too, because as you said, like, you go and you could spend the night with one of the people, like just hanging out or whatever. And, you know, if you do that enough times, you're going to increase a stat of some sort, or you're going to get a perk.
Something pretty significant.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you could carry an extra of this or whatever. Like,
you get like I just hung out with some guy named Ronald, and he like took me on the training session. And then at the end of it, like, he gave me a, I think he's the one that gave me the ability
combo counter.
He gave me that. Somebody gave me one where I can now equip three special skills. Okay. So, I think they're called conduits. So they're like special moves that you can do in combat that recharge. So now I have three of those, like, cause I went and spent time with this one person, which is kind of cool.
It's a huge, like, yeah, like we can't overemphasize, like, some of these things you're getting from these people, like, again, like I think I said early on, the girl Thea, she gives you the ability to unlock chests. So, like, that's a huge one, because you get, like, massively better, like, armor and stuff from chests in the levels. And if you can't open the chests, because you didn't hang out with her, like, it all kind of, like, feeds into each other. It's like a social sim feeds into the Zelda aspect, and it's just, like, I don't know, it just works. It feels like Zelda stripped to its core, plus a social sim that you play after you do the dungeons, and nothing like overstays its welcome. Yeah, and the dungeons just like get so elaborate and fucking cool, and the game looks cool. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I really, really love this game.
Yeah, it's very quickly climbing up my list. Like,
and it's crazy too, because it's like clearly like not a huge budget game, but boy did they like design the shit out of it.
And there are things, I think I mentioned this last week, that like kind of rum. I've kind of gotten over the fact that, like, you know, there's no voice. I think that it actually allows it you works. To speed up that. But like, I wish I could walk the entire town. Like, there's just, there are parts where it's like, oh, if you go here, it'll go, do you want to go to the tourist section? And like, so you just skip like a bunch of stuff. You basically slide down. I wish you could travel the entire town, but like, then there's other things when you're actually in the zones, as long as you have walked to a map board or near a map board, like you could fast travel there.
And it's super quick.
Yeah. So you don't have to like walk through the entire zone again. If you don't want to, it's beneficial too, because you'll get monster parts or, you know, you'll get it, you know, upgrade materials or whatever. But if you're just like, I just want to go do the dungeon, you can just warp to the map point that you need to go to and, you know, make your way to the next dungeon. So it's like very convenient in the choices it's made. It's great. It's absolutely great. If you like Zelda, definitely give it a go.
I think everyone on this podcast, we all have Game Pass. Y'all got to give it a shot. Like, it is, I don't know, it's a joy to play. Like, it's just a really fun, nice game that, like, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about. I think the only thing, bad thing I would say about it is that the combat becomes a little bit, like, the combat encounters are, like, you get, like, sectioned off in a little area, like a little circle, and you have to kill everything in the area, and that's it. It's, like, it's very repetitive on that aspect. You do get cooler, like, spells or whatnot to use on the enemies to kill them. That makes it more fun as it goes along, but, like, it really is a lot of the same, like, I've only done, like, one really big, huge boss fight, which I think, Chris, you touched on, where it felt like a Zelda boss fight, where it was like, oh, I'm going to use my ball and chain. Like, when the thing opens its mouth, I'm going to shoot my ball and chain into it. I'm going to pull them down, and then their head hits the ground, and then I drop a bomb on their head. Like, that type of, like, Zelda-style boss fight is kind of rare in this. Like, it's really just, like, you get stuck in a ring and have to kill a bunch of things in a row, and it feels good and it's fun, but it just, I don't feel like that part of it changes enough or gets any, like, you know, it's just very basic.
Yeah. The combat's just there,
like, but it is not like, it's not bad in any way. Like, I like it. And like, that's like the worst thing I can say about this game. Like, the rest of it, I'm really in love with. And honestly, it's something like, if you ever did a sequel, you could improve on that part of it and put bosses at the end of every dungeon. Yeah. But other than that, I fucking love it, man.
Yeah, there's so much to like about it. Like, there's just like really cool things. Like, you know, if you go and like hang out with a dog, like, you become not friends with the dog, but you become acquainted with the dog. Like,
yeah,
it only takes like what, two things. There's only two stars to fill up for the dog, but yeah, if you like get acquainted with the dog, like, he'll show you, or he'll dig up a dungeon for you in one area. It's really like, cool. Yeah. There's lots of really neat things going on in the game. Give it a go, for sure. And it's very, like, the achievements aren't grindy. They're just like, you know, you're hitting them as you play along. And like, as you do things that you're probably going to do anyway, you're going to be getting them. So you're always unlocking something. It's never like, oh, you need to go and kill 4 billion of these enemies. It always feels like you're making progress in the game as you're playing it. Even when you're not, like, actually, what I want to do is just go to, like, the rest areas for a couple days so that I can go and, like, build up my relationships with some of the people in the town.
Yeah. I was just worried that we're on a day counter, which I have to believe we are not.
So I looked that up. As long, there is no count. Like, you're just there. Okay. Like, she's decided she's there. And as long as you don't do the final dungeon, you can you could just screw around the entire time.
Cool.
I was definitely afraid of that. Like, have they designed this so I can't do everything?
The game is very much like, this is day 22, this is day 23. And she does say at one point, like very early on in the game, I'm going to do the full 25 days. And I'm like, well, that's my limit, right? Like, if I hit 25 and I haven't done everything, then I'm fucked. And so, like, I've avoided, because you, like, Chris has touched on this earlier, like, you could, like, even when you go into a level that has a dungeon, you could spend the night or spend the day there just like relaxing a scenic spot, like, and that will increase your like relaxation stat, which you may need for something, right? But I avoided that for a while because I'm like, I have to maximize what I'm doing every day. I have to get a dungeon done every day. Like, so it's good to know. I could like up my stats a little bit and get to be friends with everyone.
Yeah. You could, and like that, you sit down there. She like has like a little moment of Zen. She talks about how beautiful the environment is. And
yeah, that's the cool thing. I think I said this last week too, is like, when you go do the shit at night and you have to like hang out with someone for the night, like your main interest is like to increase a stat. But usually I think the conversations are pretty cool. Like, I don't know, man. I'm vibing with this game big time. Like,
yeah, I got the one where they ask you about your, you know, how you unpack your suitcase and stuff.
There's every night. It's like every dialogue thing. I'm like locked into it in a way that I'm normally never like it. And I think if it was spoken, maybe I would like pay attention to less, where I would just be like, yeah, whatever. Click, let's go. And here it's just like, I don't know. I'm so intrigued by this world, and I think it's such a neat idea that I'm at the point now where I'm like into the mystery. Like, I want to know what's happening here. And so I'm listening to what everyone's saying.
And it's that quick hit of the story, right? It's like,
yeah, you're not over spending, yeah,
2-3 minutes, and then, you know, you wrap up for the day, and then you could choose to waste some time. I found that doesn't really do anything except lower your stats.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, like maybe I'll get some more information if I read this book or if I watch the TV or something. And
it helps your, you know, happiness or relaxation or something like that. But you'll go with lower HP the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really cool. And on Game Pass, so give it a go. That's all I've really been playing this week. Jeff, did you play anything else? Did you finish some more Armored Core?
I've played more Armored Core, and I've discovered it's hard. But it is also, I've gotten past every level. Like, I get stuck. I was stuck on a level, and I have to try it a bunch of times, and then I'll, like, we'll come up with something. I'll come up with a way to get past it. But what's weird is, like, I think I might still be in chapter 1, which is wild to me, because I've played, like, 10 levels, or at least now. So I had to look it up. I'm like, how many chapters is this game? It says 5 chapters, so I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's something like 10 or so levels per chapter. But yeah, I just, for whatever reason, based on what I had played of it so far last time, I thought, oh, this is probably a short game. And maybe it's not super long, but it's definitely a thought. And you're going to get stuck more than I thought. I think it's still pretty cool. I think the one thing, I think the level I'm stuck on now, the problem is that they spread the checkpoints out too long, where it was just like, I've done a bunch, and then if you fuck up at this one part, then you're losing too much progress, and like, it's kind of annoying.
Okay.
You know, I hate that but other than that, it's fun.
All right. All right. Well, that's what we've been playing this week. Go listen to our classic episode that's up there on the feeds. Episode 0.
Did I say anything like homophobic or misogynistic in it or anything?
I don't think so. Okay. Sean listened to it, and the thing he came away with is like, time is funny because like we're talking about Darksiders and Deadly Premonition, and I think there's like a Castlevania multiplayer game that came out all around this time.
Is that called Dissonance?
I believe so.
Yes.
Castlevania HD. Yes.
Yeah.
we're talking about those games, and it's just like weird to like think like they were all out at that time, that same time.
It's weird how like some of it doesn't seem far ago, but it was now.
Yeah.
Like that's really like ancient history now, and it's not like. And I will admit, I listened to like the first 20 minutes. I don't like to listen to myself. And I'm happy I did not talk much in the first 20 minutes of that episode. And I was also more happy, like I said, that like I did not say anything like super offensive because it was 2010. But it's weird that, it feels like it could have been yesterday that we're talking about all this stuff, but it also was a long time ago. And Tony sounds like he's 8 years old.
He does sound very young.
Like I'm 8 years old.
Tony sounds younger. Like Tony sounds like a 20-year-old kid.
Oh, which I don't know. Things, guys, it's aged me.
How old were you in 2010, Tony?
2010.
14 years younger.
28.
Okay.
Does that math work?
I don't know. But you sounded like early 20s. Like you really did. Like you sounded like very young in it.
That was one of the first things I noticed, too, Jeff. It's like, oh my God, we sound like children.
I think we all maybe sound a little different, but like Tony more than anybody. And I was just surprised I was not like a complete raging maniac. I'm like, I might be worse now than I was then. I sound very normal. Like, holy shit.
That's up there. It's on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. They'll be coming out on Wednesdays as I
terrified.
Post them up.
Any problematic.
we'll see what happens.
it's fine. We'll be okay. If you guys want to cancel me, you can cancel. We unearthed this thing that Jeff said that we all heard him say. 15 years ago,
I was not on for years and years.
That is true.
You're in the clear, Earl.
Yeah, my problematic views remain OE on social media.
I mean, as this was Jeff, myself, Tony, and Fozzie to start with. Then Fozzie left. Don came on for a few years and. And then I think Pete was on for a few years. We went through some errors in the show. So
I will say that I do miss Fozzie. I wish he would come back at least like here and there. I've reached out to him a few times, like, dude, come on the show just like once. I'm working on it.
He's always welcome. So.
But not the other ones.
No.
One of my favorite show moments was we were doing our personal top tens for the year, and Pete hadn't played 10 games that year.
Oh, yeah.
This was like 7 games long.
Yeah, I don't have one. I've heard that was funny.
Is Pete still around? Is he still tweeting?
He cut off all of his social media for a bit. I think he came back, but like he's not following anybody. There's like one or two people I know that he may talk to occasionally.
Well, I wish him best of luck, but I do miss Fozzie. Me and Fozzie were buddies, we're bros, we like slept together, and
that's true.
that did happen. I saw them sleep
together. Yeah, I did.
That's true.
It was in your hotel room.
There's a video of it. It's on YouTube. I don't know. Man, we've been doing it for so long. Jesus Christ. And I've never gotten any better at it. I sounded better at it on day one
That was something I also noticed. Like Jeff actually sounded like his audio sounds decent.
My audio sounded like very good.
Fozzie's was terrible. Not terrible. Like I mean, I think we could all hear everything. And
audio was all, like muffled. I couldn't believe audio from like 2010 sounded fine. Like it sounded totally fine. And we sounded totally fine. Like we didn't say anything bad. We were good. We were good boys. I didn't listen to the whole episode. I listened to like the first 20 minutes. I'm like, I don't like to listen to myself. Like, so I'm like,
I get it. You know. But that's out there. So enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, people were listening to it. You know, people that we know said they listened to it. And at least on the YouTube channel, it had 54 views.
That is our first podcast, though. Like, that's the first.
That is the first one that we did.
We sounded pretty comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
It really kind of surprised me because it sounded like people that had been talking to each other for a long time. Maybe a little shy. Maybe that's why I wasn't saying like crazy shit yet. But like, generally sounded fine.
It's gonna be. I think it'll be fascinating to like see how we evolved into the format that we kind of.
There were some crazy episodes and years. So.
Yeah.
Yay!
Enjoy if you're out there, and yeah, I hope you find some enjoyment in it. But we'll be back next week with more Dungeons of Hinterberg.
Not to prolong the episode, but since you folks are reminiscent, I'm very curious, and then we can wrap. Where did the goodnight Jeff come from?
I don't know. I have to go pee, so I'm saying goodnight.
I really don't know. Jeff has to pee, so he left. I don't know where it came from. That'll be fascinating to see when we just started doing that. I do believe Fozzie at the beginning used to send us out, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, well, I guess we'll find out. Or it's just one of those things that pop up where it's like, oh, that's where it started.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out, because there are things that this episode it did not, you know, like I've always, not always, but like for years now, I've always, you know, when we start the show, I'm like, you know, I'm Chris, and always joined by Tony. But that was not a thing either. So just things that you end up feeling comfortable and just become routine as you do them more and more. So, but Earl, Jeff left, so he can't say goodnight. So will you say goodnight?
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, we survived July. Let's hope August is much shorter. And have a great night.